Welcome to the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
Hey, just to start off with, your daughter was just in here in between filming the segments, and she had on the Play That Goes Wrong sweatshirt.
Nice.
And I gotta say, I just would jump this in because I feel the need to talk about it. The Mischief comedy, the Mischief Theater Group, they're phenomenal.
They're
like,
really good.
I'm like, so like obsessed with them right now.
Yeah, Peter Pan, The Play Goes Wrong. What else was it? They just did something else, right?
Well, I think they've got Magic Goes Wrong right now, although I'm not sure if that's part of Mischief or not.
There was one just playing out in Amundsen or something like that, or Fantagious.
That was Peter Pan Goes Wrong.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And but then do you watch the Goes Wrong show?
No.
The 30-minute episodes?
I've watched it prior to doing it, just watching their style. Their timing is... I'd like to be in a show like that.
I'm completely obsessed. Like, I could watch those shows over... I'm to the point where, like, I watch them and I get teary-eyed. It's like a thing of beauty. Like, shut up. Shut up, Nathan. Give me my moment.
Let it cry. Go for it.
I did. Like, several times... I watched, A Christmas Carol Goes Wrong. And that one kind of ties their story up. And I was, like, got all teary-eyed at the end. I'm like, oh, no, it's over. I hope they come out with the season 3, but I don't know if they will. But those guys, man.
Yeah.
Shut up, Nathan.
Sorry, I'm looking at John, and his head's just in his hand, like, what? Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
I feel sorry for John, then, because John hasn't, I bet he's never witnessed the Mischief Theater Group.
He's probably,
No, see, John, you don't understand the reason for the heartache and the tears and the magic and the, like, no, don't let it be done.
It'll come back, Mike. It'll come back.
And Henry Lewis, that guy. He's the one that plays Robert Groves.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy. He's talented. Pretty round guy. I mean,
you don't know him, do you?
I don't know. I know what you're talking about. You know there's a heavier set guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's good.
Yeah, he's amazing. They're all of them, their timing is something like to aspire to be like. They're so good. I agree. I didn't cry about it, but I think they're so talented.
I don't know. It just made me. It got me teary-eyed, like when they were in there in Peter Pan and they were singing their song, and they're like, I forget, da da da, damn fairy dust and the world of make believe. I don't know when they're doing that at the end, and their whole set is destroyed, and Max is going around as the alligator, like snap, 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 and just like, I don't know. It got to me.
It got to me. I'm glad it spoke to you, Mike.
I want to be there with them.
You should write a show like that, and then you and I could be in it.
This is a two-person show?
Yeah, why not?
Nathan and Michael Go Wrong?
Okay, that's a whole different... That's what this podcast is.
That's like our normal Friday night. Yeah.
That's our recordings of every podcast. Michael and Nathan Go Wrong.
You saw the picture I sent you a couple days ago? Of us... here 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, recording together.
Because we wanted to watch the Sopranos
prequel,
movie.
Soprano prequel.
The Many Saints of Newark.
Yeah, we watched that.
And you're like, dude, we'll come to the theater and we'll put it on the, we'll put the DVD up, just you and me, and we'll like watch
put
it on
projection.
On the big projected screen with the speakers and everything. And we were like, yeah.
It was good.
Was
that a year ago?
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, that's right.
2 years ago, and it didn't seem like that.
That's crazy.
It seemed because I still remember that night.
Yeah, we were pretty hot in that picture. I was like, "Damn, we're sexy."
Yeah,
times have changed.
Yeah, 2 years ago, two years ago.
That's pretty awesome.
So 2 years sexier now.
Yeah. So we're talking about this podcast. What's your season look like for this new year? What's your season look like?
Well, in about a week and a half, we're opening up with Bell, Book, and Candle. For our January show, and it's the romantic comedy. It opened on Broadway in 1950.
Bell, Book, and Candle?
Bell, Book.
Bell, Book.
Bell, Book, and Candle. It's a story of a witch who falls in love with a guy. She likes a guy. According to the rules of the script, witches can't fall in love, but she really likes a guy. So she puts a love spell on him. And the guy just, it immediately, without knowing why, he is completely drawn to this witch, but he's about to be engaged with another woman and everything. So he breaks that off, breaks everything off, and he falls in love with her. And then she, the witch starts to feel bad because, like, he, you know, she made his world follow, you know, like, right. You know,
it's not genuine.
She,
it's ruining his
and
world.
It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, she manipulated his world and he thinks he's in love, but he's not. And she can't be in love. And, for a witch to be in love, then she has to lose her powers.
Wow.
And so she decides to, okay, she gives up her powers to fall in love with him. But then he is so upset when he finds out that...
Well, yeah, he's been manipulated.
Yeah. And so then he's like, I never want to see you again. So she's given up her powers and she's brokenhearted. And he's like, ah, you know. And so it's... But, you know, comes around in the end. It's got a very nice ending. It's a great story. In the middle of the show, in the middle of the script, when I'm reading it through, that's what sold me. Like the scene in the middle, I was like, I want to be in this scene. I want to do this scene is so dramatic. This is so good. I want to do the scene. So, call up my friend Monica and I was like, hey, have you read the script? And she's like, no. I was like, we have to do this. I want to show you the script. And of course, she never ended up reading the script, I don't think, until, like, I never got it to her, but she just said yes to the part. But so we're rehearsing it now, and it's a really good show. I think it's funny. It's really funny, but it's got a lot of dramatic scenes in there. And then
is there sound effects like witch cackling and stuff, or is it all just
sound effects like witch cacklings and you know, stuff like that. Well, stuff would be trying out. But there are some sound... some special effects trying to figure out how to... Because it calls for, like, one of the characters walks in and the witch is doing, like, some sort of a incantation thing. And he's like, whoa, what's going on? Is this indoor fireworks? And I'm like, I don't know quite how we're going to pull that one off yet.
Just use sparklers and have a bucket there that they could put it out in. Like, have it in a cauldron. You know, the fire sparklers?
Yeah, do you have any sparklers?
I do.
Yep.
I have a bunch.
Oh, cool.
And they just have in the cauldron, have a bucket, so they just stick it out in there, go tss, and put it out.
Well, that would be useful, because I don't have any of those.
I have a bunch of them, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here?
At my house.
At your house?
Yeah. Not far away. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of cool. Actually, it'd be good production value.
That would be cool.
Well, we can talk after the podcast.
All right, we'll talk about it after the podcast. But so we're doing that in 2 weeks, and then the one that I've been working on for like the last year, we'll be starting rehearsals for Rigby Red right after that. And so I've still been working on all the songs, and the goal was to get one album done, and we almost have two albums done for it now.
Holy cow!
So I've got five songs that are. I believe we're recorded now, and then the other ones I'm just waiting to come in, and I need to write two more.
Are you recording them yourself?
I'm doing the vocals.
Like, are you doing the mixing and all that? You have a company or a guy?
No. Nolan Livesey did a couple.
Oh, okay.
Went over and did a couple with him, and then the other at Howling Studios. It's out in San Jacinto.
Oh, cool.
Out there, and they do the mixing for me, but. We got the albums up on like the streaming platform, so you can listen to them on Spotify now. And
I know we listened to a couple on one of our podcasts. Remember?
Yeah, it was early on. That was before that they were on Spotify. That was when they were only on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
And so, it's cool. So we'll be excited about that one to get going there. But what about you? What are you up to?
We just launched our seventh season coming up. Really wicked season. Like Little Shop of Horrors. Little Mermaid, which is going to be epic. And after that, we have Annie. Then we have our Frozen Junior we're doing for our kids' camp. And then, I'm not Frozen Junior, Little Nemo Junior. And then we're doing Sound of Music, 12 Angry Men in the summer. You can check it out. You can check it out. And then we're doing White Christmas. And we're doing all kinds of fun stuff. And then we're starting our creative education. Starting that up pretty quick, and we have a really busy season, and we've been reached out to by a few different people asking us to take our shows to their venues and stuff after our close. But Steve and I've been talking in the board, and we're just thinking that we're going to try to work on our home base and kind of focus on our stuff here and not get too distracted outside of these walls. But we're doing the creative education because that's important, just to give kids a visual learning tool, but also a nice way to entertain them at the same time so they can learn creatively. Mm-hmm. So heading that up, and met with the superintendent. That's looking really good and promising with two and a half school districts, two specifically, and then there's another
one. Did you say two and a half?
Well, the other one we're in negotiation over the phone, but we haven't really locked in any details. But they want us, so it's actually near your home area, so working that out. So, but yeah, a lot of cool opportunities coming up, but we're really going to – the shows that I named, they're really big shows and they're big titles, and we're just going to go all out and let the world know what we got and what we're coming with, coming strong with it. So
when you were sitting there planning the season out, how do you start to do that with your company there? Sometimes I walk in here and I see, like, on your board that's behind you, I see a bunch of titles up there. Do you just start throwing titles out?
Yeah, look at popularity and try. I put titles up of things that I see other people in the area doing, and then I usually cancel those out. But I put them up there so I can cross them off. And then people come into my office, and they write their titles down, and then it's kind of like a thoughts board, if you will. People can put down whatever ideas they have. Some are really good ideas. Some I'm like, there's no way we could fly a ship right now. Like, or, I mean, certain things you just can't do. And sometimes people put titles down that rights aren't available. And like last season, our whole season was basically based on family or valuing what you have in relationships. In all truth, this season, we're really focusing on family, just drawing families to our theater, letting them know we're doing a lot of fun family stuff. The real thing is to sell tickets. We want to draw people and bring them into our door. And by doing well-named big shows, Disney shows, well-titled shows, to do that, I think that's what's the most important.
I thought it was really funny because I was I don't often go back and listen to these podcasts. Do you ever go back and listen to them?
I do every now and then, or certain friends will be like, oh, listen to this, and we'll listen to it together. But not
like,
always.
Like once in a while, I'll put these on, but I usually don't. But the one that I was listening to the other day, you were saying we were talking about the type of shows that you would do, and you were like I wouldn't do the Rocky Horror Show. Well, then you said, well, I might do it, but I wouldn't bring my mom to it because I could hear Nathan Robert.
Yeah, Nathan Robert. That's the truth. And then,
did I see that on the lineup this year?
It is, and that's actually we're not doing it here at Legendary. We were actually. We're in partnership with Yucaipa Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is we're doing a 2-day special there. It's a concert version. We're going to do the movie playing in the background mm-hmm. and have people singing scenes. And we're going to sell props at the door when they come in. It's kind of a cult following. And this happens all around the United States and actually UK. But it's a huge deal. People come by the newspaper, buy other props, glow sticks and other things like that for the event. They come in, it's interactive. When they're doing their dialogue and songs, the audience gets to yell and be a part of it. It starts raining at one point, they put the newspapers on their heads. So
we're not
doing it officially. That really would be a show that we would not do at Legendary for ourselves. But we reached out to them and say, hey, we have an idea. So they're gonna have it be this like Halloween event where they're gonna have vendors, they're gonna do what they do there, and we're just bringing the entertainment side of things.
I don't know. You could do a late night Legendary. Started at midnight.
Well, and that's kind of where it started from. I was thinking about doing a late night, doing just one night here only for Halloween. Mm-hmm. But it grew into why not team up with YPAC, help them out, it helps us out, keep our partnership thriving. So it kind of grew into that. And that's kind of what the whole point of it is. And we don't get our audience confused that we're doing that type of show here. Like, I don't believe we'd ever do Avenue Q, those type of shows here. Like puppets having sex on stage. That's not really... I'm not saying we wouldn't do that, but I don't think we would. So I am still true to that. Legendary is not doing it officially, but we're partnering up with, you hear that, Mom? Mom, you hear me?
Nathan, we're not Robert.
Doing it. Yeah, exactly. She's going to pull up any minute and go, Nathan. She listens to these. I think she's the only one. I'm just kidding. bad joke.
Going back to Rocky Horror, I was thinking about, like, you know, when you were talking about all the props and everything like that. You ever stop and think about the shout-outs? How on earth did the shout-outs come to be? Like, somebody shouted it out, and they're like, oh, let's do that every time.
Yeah, keep that. Yeah.
Like, keep that. Let's do it. Let's teach it to everyone. How did everybody, like, how is it? The first time I saw the Rocky Horror Show, I didn't understand. I was sitting in there, and usually the audience is supposed to be quiet.
Were you wearing nylons and tights and stuff?
No, I wasn't, and I felt like an idiot because I wasn't. Like,
everyone else was. Huh?
I didn't know what to expect. Like, I walk in there, it's like, oh, the Rocky Horror Show at midnight. Like, and then, like, you know, Creatures of the Night start showing up. Yeah. I'm like, what is this? And
I've already been followed by two Rocky Horror Facebook groups, actually. They reached out and started following me personally, not even Legendary.
Yeah.
So we'll see what kind of people that brings.
But then it comes to, like, a point in the show, and everybody knows the shout-outs. Mm-hmm. Everybody, the actors say something, and everybody screams back at the same time. Well, like, how did you just go to do that?
Even the actors kind of pause because they know it's coming.
Yeah.
And they have to stay in character and keep going. I think it's pretty impressive.
Or when the audience starts singing, I mean, the actors on stage, like, science fiction, the whole audience, ooh, yeah. Yeah. Double feature, bow, wow, wow. They're all like, I'm like, how does everybody know to do this? Is this in the program or something? No, it's not. They just know it.
In fairness, I saw that show when I was, I think, 14. It was on a VHS that my mom was a home care nurse. Mm-hmm. And one of the ladies that she watched was like a grandma to us. And she had it in her VHS collection, and I put it on when my mom was actually giving the lady a bath, taking care of her. And I put it on the TV, and I watched it, and I thought, I was like, what am I watching? I didn't know what I was watching. And I never saw it again, to be honest with you. I never saw it again. So I'm looking forward to kind of digging into it. I don't know. I know the story. I know the gist of it, but I definitely think this is going to stretch me as a director as far as, because this is not something that I normally would dive into. At all, actually. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, I want to.
Did you enjoy it, Mike, when you saw it?
It was like an experience.
Okay.
Like I had yes, I did.
Will you come to ours?
What are you doing? Halloween?
It's around October sometime. I don't know.
Halloween. Well, I do want to see that.
Okay, so that means yes.
I do.
Okay, good.
It's a. It's a tentative yes.
Maybe you could be in it and perform in like one of the. I mean, I have a couple of costumes that would look good on you, I'm sure.
Well, I played the.
You could play the Meatloaf character.
I could.
Riding on your little bike with some tights on.
I think I mentioned it on another podcast. So I played in the band for it, like years ago. And it was probably one of my top shows that I've done. It was so fun. Like I played the keyboard and I wore a wedding dress and smoked a cigar.
Oh, wow.
Like while I was doing it and the whole band was dressed up. Everybody was dressed up.
Well, maybe you could do Legendary again. I know you only do your theater and a few others, but maybe you could do Legendary again.
Well, it's not exclusive. It's just a time thing.
Mm. Okay. All right, cool. Oh, yeah. So that's our season. We've got a great season coming up, but yeah, check it out. And then, what other stuff, Mike? You only have two shows this season? You only mentioned two shows.
Well, typically Play With Your Food.
I think you do three.
Yeah, we already did one.
Oh, that was part of this last season?
Yeah, our season starts, the first show starts in October.
Oh, okay.
We usually do October and a January and then March.
Do you have any idea what one of your new seasons is going to be in October? Have you thought about it?
No, it's what I do as soon as March ends.
You just start spending time on that?
I start looking through big stacks of scripts.
Nice.
And, yeah, trying to find something. And it's getting tougher and tougher to find good stuff that we've never done.
Well, yeah. Have you thought about repeating, or do you think that'd be detrimental to do?
We repeated Getting Sarah Married last March, and that's the first one that we've ever repeated.
Did that go off with a hitch? Like, did that do well?
I think that it did.
Did they both do well? I mean, did people respond to the show well?
To both times we did it?
Yeah, did they enjoy the content, the story?
I think so. I mean, it's a funny little story. It's a, you know, romantic comedy.
I know you recommended it to me to do for a dinner theater that we're going to be starting with another partnership. You mentioned that title to me. I think we're going to be doing that too. Maybe this February or next year. I'm not sure. We're working on the details.
There's, there's a bunch of stuff that just works well for that type of dinner theater. Mm. Getting Sarah Married is just one of them. But that author though, Sam Bobrick, like just about everything he writes, or wrote. I think he just passed away within the last few years.
He did. I did a lot of research on him.
But that guy's golden for like my type of theater. Mm. Like because I always look for stuff that's got between like maybe 4 to 6 characters, and that's what a lot of his stuff is. And it can be easily staged, doing perfect. Yes,
well, I notice a lot of his stuff is being done a lot of places, so he must be a really good writer too. I mean, he has a lot of well-known titles. It looks like I did a lot of research on him.
He really writes well for like this type of theater. Mm. Like we had mentioned in other podcasts, sometimes you read a script, you're like, oh, the writing is so good, and then they throw something like out of left field that makes it unstageable or
you're
something.
Like, why'd you do that? Why'd you?
Yeah, like that? Why? Yeah. Like why did that happen? And his are just like he has written with simplicity in mind. Like here's for the theater. Like if you want to make this a little more complicated, you can, but it can also be done very, very, very well on, you know, just the simplest of stages. So if you're a theater group and, you know, you don't have a lot of money to spend on sets and costumes and things like that, you just want a simple story that takes place modern day. You can have the actors wear their own costumes, like, you know, their own outfits for their costumes. Doesn't require like, okay, in this one, you have to have a horse, a live horse, and someone jousting. And
what?
It's like,
yeah. How am I supposed to do that?
Yeah. So, I mean, everything in there is just very easily done. And so I recommend it. Sam Bobrick. So check out his plays, everybody. It's a lot of very simple stuff. And what were the royalties like? Did you check?
Yeah, around $350.
Are you kidding?
No.
That has jumped up so much.
Yeah, it was $350, and you're required to buy 7 scripts, even though it's a cast of 6.
$350 for one night?
Uh-huh. Yep. And you're required to buy 7 scripts, not 6.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, because you gotta have one for the stage manager, too, now.
Yep, yeah, which is fine,
yeah,
but I'll make them share, man. They'll sit over each other's arms and share.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was $350 minimum for one day. And I remember when you told me, you're like, oh, it's probably like $150, max $200. I was like,
because that's what I paid. But I also know that like stuff's been just skyrocketing.
Everything's skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Anyway. We have a great season. You have a cool season too. Yeah.
Was that the time?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, 7-8 minutes. Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, so, all right. Is there any one of those that you're, like, particularly stoked about?
I'm excited about the whole season, actually. Like, I'm looking forward to Little Shop. I mean, we're building, instead of renting the plant, we're actually building it ourselves. We're having it built. We've been meeting about that. The steps of doing that are really good. To rent the plant, it looks like it's going to be around, like, $4,000. So we're building our own, and we're going to rent out ours for a cheaper price to a local theaters and other theaters can use it for a cheaper price, because it's ridiculous to spend that kind of money. No offense to those businesses that built it. I know it took time, money, materials. I get it. But it's crazy when you have a budget and you're dropping $4,000 in a puppet. So we're building our own plant. It's going to look legit. The ones I've already seen are looking amazing. So
yeah, a puppet that you don't get to keep, right?
Yeah. We're going to keep this one. We're building it to keep.
Right. But the other one, if you rent it,
it goes back.
It goes back. Yep. So it's just, yeah.
So we're going to build it ourselves and then have it for our own inventory. We're building for our own inventory. So that, but I'm looking forward to Annie. I love that show. I think it's fun. It's cute. It's like a female Oliver. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like that show. I think it's cool. 12 Angry Men, I want to be in that show so bad. I'm going to audition for it, actually. I want to be in. I love that production. Our set is amazing for that. Sound of Music, I love the show, but I do think it's done a lot. But I do love the show. I think the sense of showing family, like sticking together, getting through stuff, I like the idea of that. White Christmas is going to be huge. I think I missed the title. But no, there's not really one that I'm like so excited about. I truly am excited about our whole season. That's kind of why I've been saying no to other projects, because I really just want to focus on this. And Steve and I are just talking about the ideas we have for the entire kind of feel for each show, how to make the theater immersive for each one. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to the whole season, actually. So,
what do you think the odds are that you would audition for 12 Angry Men and then not get in? Do you think there would be an intimidation factor with the director?
Like I hope so. I'll take whatever I can get. No, I think I would get in. I think I imagine I would get in, just depending what role they would put me in.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's certain roles that I'd want to play. But honestly, I would give it over to the director. And if they really didn't see me in the position for the show, I'd be willing to step out if it's not for their vision. I would. I would never use him as a director again, but I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, and I may direct it. I don't know. I'm not sure. There's been people that submitted for it, so I'm not sure. But I'm really looking forward to just this whole season. It's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to the creative education, too. I love doing those. I really enjoy performing for kids, letting them learn visually. I think it's such a cool way to do it. And also, it's another way to network our theater and also make a little revenue for our theater, too.
I just remember, like, when we were doing Jackie Robinson, creative education. I mean, that was, I don't know, that was a huge experience
it
with
was
us.
Life-changing.
I mean, just life. Yeah, I mean, it was. I don't know what I want to say. I mean, there was the idea of performing for the schools and everything like that, and creating that magic. But then that was just like a bonding show.
It was. We bonded together big time, and it was cool for us. And we were going to do some life stuff at the time, and I think it was cool to be performing together. But I love that we instilled in those kids that they could be the next hero, that they could make a difference, to inspire them. You be the change. You be whatever needs to be, you know? And I love that that's what's pushed on them, while inspiring them to do that by showing them other people that have been that way or have done that kind of stuff.
And we had a song that we would always sing backstage. Do you remember what it was?
Lean On Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would always just do that.
I loved it.
Yeah, we would even just call each other and just like, this is Nathan's voicemail. Lean on me when you're not strong.
And just burst into it. Your friend.
Just to keep the memory going.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
That was fun. Maybe we'll create something like that with this new adventure we're doing. And I'm hoping you'll help out with that. And we'll talk about those details. But I'm pretty sure you're going to help out with it.
Well, I would love to get involved.
It's going
to
be good. It's going to be very successful. Maybe we get John involved too. I know he's busy, but get him performing too for kids again, doing stuff. So he's rolling his head like heck no, but we'll talk him into it.
Well, you know what?
Like, I'll bring a fork. I'll bring four.
That was so about an hour ago we recorded the first podcast where we talked about John being very angry because he didn't get a fork.
from Yogi Nogi. We can't say the real name, but
I understand the frustration. Can you imagine that? You're so hungry.
And he waited for like 40 minutes. He said it took forever.
You go to the place. You get the food. He's got to be on stage. He doesn't have time to go back. Goes in to eat, and there's like nothing to eat with.
Michael came into the theater and goes, hey, John's here. He's having a rough time outside. I said, what do you mean? I thought he had car trouble or something. I was like, is he all right? Like something happened. Like his puppy passed away. I didn't know. And then Mike goes, no, they messed up his order. I said, what do you mean? I go outside and then I find out it was about a spork or a fork or a spoon. I was like, all right, well, let's get inside. I'll get you a spoon. That's not the point, Nathan. Okay, sorry, John.
There's the principle of the thing.
Yes.
You go to a place, they should give you a fork.
After 40 minutes of waiting. I was like, I understand. I'm sorry.
They forked me over.
That's funny. Anyway.
But I was looking back on my Facebook memories today, and it was 6 years ago that Bad Medicine was just about to debut, and you know, people may know, listeners may know, that the character Ackley Hornsby was based on John.
Yes, we talked about that, and yep. I definitely know that, and I could see that kind of spork.
That is the rock star performer.
Just so you know, this isn't video, but in my drawer I have forks just in case John gets upset. I'm always prepared. Listen, watch. See, that's my drawer. That's my fork drawer for John. Anyway,
and look, he's got a big smile on his face right now.
He's like, please wrap it up, guys, we're done.
One minute.
Okay, I guess we're good, guys. Check us out, what we're doing, what we got going on. Be excited about your projects. If you own a theater or you're just part of theater, get excited. Be excited about what's coming up. Encourage your local theaters and what they're doing. And if you own a theater, be excited about it. Take pride in it and just do your best.
Yeah, it is a new year, all the new opportunities and all the new stuff that's going to come your way. So just get theatrically creative and, as we said, adapt, persevere. It's going to be a year. When it gets to December, you'll have been through some stuff, but it'll be great.
Hey, remind you, if you have comments or thoughts, go on our Facebook page or our website. You can leave comments. You can ask questions. Reach out to us. We love to dialogue with you.
Yep. And we will catch you on the next episode of the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast.
Later.